Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Irvin Daf Mem Zayin. We have four lines from the top of the Amid. And the Gemara presented for us a formula in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, how we're meant to conclude a Psak Halacha when we encounter Machlokes. So if the Machlokes is between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, we follow Rabbi Yossi. Between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, we follow Rabbi Yehuda, etc. Rabbi Mishashi disagrees. He says, we're not meant to adopt general formulas when it comes to deciding a Psak Halacha. Rather, we're meant to approach each Machlokes independently and conclude based on the merits of their arguments. We're not meant to apply general formulas. Says the Gemara, how does Rabbi Mishashi know that this formula is incorrect? Says the Gemara, four lines from the top, Ela Mahodasnan. Rather, it was from the following Mishnah that he proved this point. Hamaneach is Beisoy, if one left his home, Vaholach Lishbois Biracheris, and he went to spend Shabbos in a different town. So he lived in a home which was situated as part of a courtyard arrangement, in which case they needed to establish an Erev Chatzeris to carry throughout the courtyard, but he left town for Shabbos. The question is, does he need to be included in the Erev Chatzeris arrangement or not? Says the Mishnah, Echad Nachri, whether this fellow who left was a Nachri, Echad Yisrael or Yisrael, Oyser Levnei Chatzeris. He still affects Isser on the members of his Chatzer in his hometown, Divrei Rav Meir, because even though he's physically not present, they need to include him in the Erev Chatzeris arrangement. He has a home there, he has a dwelling, he has usage rights to that area, therefore he needs to be included in the arrangement. Rabbi Yehuda, Eino Isser. The fact that he's present, not here, allows them to discount him. They don't have to reckon with him when making their arrangement. Rabbi Yossi Omer, depends. Nachri Oyser. If this fellow was a goy, then unless they include him in the arrangement, he will make them Oyser. Yisrael ain't Oyser. But by Yisrael, it doesn't work that way. Why? It's not the derech, not common for Yisrael to resurface on Shabbos. Once he left town, you can be rest assured that he's not going to come back on Shabbos. And therefore, there's no need to include him in the arrangement. In contrast with the Nachri, who might suddenly resurface on Shabbos itself, therefore, he must be included in the arrangement. Rabbi Shimon Omer, not only if the Yisrael left town, could you discount him, even if he's still in this town. Afilu hiniach as beisei. V'holach lishbois eitzel bitoi ba'oisoir. Even if this fellow left his home and he went to spend Shabbos at his daughter's home in that town, Eino Yoser, he no longer makes them Aser. They don't have to include him. Shekvar Yisiach Date, because he was really Masiach Das. He diverted his attention from his home. He's not coming back during this Shabbos, and therefore he doesn't need to be included. And this is in contrast to Rabbi Yehuda, said that if Yisrael leaves town, only if he left the town, then he doesn't need to be included. But if he's still in this town, then he must be included in the Erev. So how do we conclude? V'amar Rav Chama Bar Guri Amar Rav. So he said the name of Rav, Halach Rav Shimon. We follow Rav Shimon's Shita. This fellow left his home. Even if he's still in town, he doesn't need to be included in the Erev Chatzeris. Uman Polagale says, well, let's analyze. Who is the opposing view here? Rabbi Yehuda, right? And we concluded that Locha follows Rav Shimon. This seems to be inconsistent with our formula. For Amrit, haven't you said, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, when there's a machlokes between those two, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. And here we say, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. So this seems to be the raya of Rav Mishashi. Now I'm meant to rely on those formulas. It says, oh my kushya, what's the problem? Dilma Hachinami, perhaps here as well, Heicha de Itma Itmar. Perhaps here as well, meaning, same teretz we had on the previous Kash, on the previous Gemara, going to apply that same thing here. When there's an exception, there's an exception. Heicha de Itmar Itmar. When it was learnt, fine, so we learnt, meaning when Rav tells us over here we follow Rav Shimon, fine, it's an exception. Heicha de Itmar, but when there was no clear-cut, explicit conclusion, well, Itmar, then we don't have a conclusion and we went to adopt those formulas. So generally, you're right. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda over Rav Shimon. But here's an exception. Ella Mahadasnan. Rather, Rabbi Shashir had a raya to negate those formulas from the following Mishnah. Vizel Sha'amru Ha'oni Ma'ar V'raglav. So the Mishnah is describing a person who's on the road. He'd like to establish an Erev Tchumen. Doesn't have access to food. Says the Mishnah, this is an example of an Ani, a poor person, meaning a person doesn't have access to food at the current moment. He can make an Erev Baraglov using his feet, meaning by his mere physical presence at the Erev site, that is enough to establish Erev Chatzir, the Erev Tchumen. Rav Meir Omer, Anu Ein Lanu Ela Ani. We only apply this halacha by an Ani. He doesn't have access to food. So allow him to establish the Erev Tchumen even without food, or preferably when to use food for the Erev Tchumen. Rav Meir Omer, just the opposite. Echad Ani Vechad Asher. Whether this person has no access to food or he's an usher, has access to food, he can go ahead and opt to establish his Erev Tchumen using his physical presence. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, physical presence is actually superior to merely placing food at the Erev site. Like Amru Ma'avrim Bepas, the only reason why the Chachamim allowed one to use Pas, Elohaka La'asher, it was only meant to make it easy for the usher. Shula Yetzi Ve'ar Baraglav. So it shouldn't be necessary for him to have to actually physically go out to the Erev site. So they allowed him to use bread, he could send it out using a shliach. It's a leniency. Physical presence at the site is actually better than food placement. So, what is the psak halacha? Right, we have machlekes. Rav Yehuda says, anybody can establish an erev using his physical presence. What Rav Meir says, it was a special allowance for a person who doesn't have access to food, but otherwise, you meant to use food. Umasin le Rav Chiya bar Ashi. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi taught L'Chiya bar Rav, Chiya the son of Rav, Kamei de Rav. So he taught Chiya in front of Rav as follows. Echad Ani ve'echad Asher. Whether the person is an Ani or an Asher, he can choose to establish the Erev Tchumen using his physical presence. And according to Shitas, Rav Yehuda. Va'amali Rav. And Rav responded to him, Sayu banami. You should also conclude in the wording of your Mishnah, Halakha Rav Yehuda. Meaning establish it as part of your learning, as part of the nusach of the Mishnah here. So the question here is, why did Rav find it necessary to actually state Halakha Rav Yehuda so explicitly? We already know that. Tarati lamli, why do you have to add this second statement? Meaning, we already have it established as a formula. For Amris, haven't you said, Rameya Rav Yehuda, when there's a machlokes between these two, Halakha Rav Yehuda. So we want to follow Rav Yehuda. Why was it so important to state it explicitly here? It's been established as an accepted formula. So perhaps this is the raya, that formula is unreliable. Says the Ramai Kushya. What's the problem? Dilma Rav, Leslie, Lani Chloe. Perhaps you're right. Rav himself doesn't hold of these formulas. Okay, he doesn't agree with it. You have a raya to that. But the formula was stated in the name of Yechanan. So Rabbi Yochanan holds when to apply those formulas. Had the Mishashi know that those formulas were falsely attributed to Rabbi Yochanan, perhaps Rav disagrees. However, Rabbi Yochanan maintains that those are correct formulas. Ella rather mahadisnan, we have a right from the following Mishnah. Hayavama le sachleitz le sesabim. Ad sheyu lo shleisha chadashim. So Yavama, whose husband died without children, she used to wait. She used to undergo a 3-month wait period before she performs chalitza, before she gets yibum. These 3 months will determine for us whether or not she's expecting. Because if the isha is muberis, then the chalitza is invalid, then certainly the yibum is not meant to be done, because if she's expecting from her husband who died, she's not meant to marry her husband's brother. It's an erva, it's an avera. So she's meant to wait so they can determine whether or not she requires chalitza or yibum. Says the Mishnah, the same thing applies for any woman who decides to remarry. She needs to undergo that 3-month wait period to determine whether she's expecting. V'chein sharkal anoshim, the same thing regarding all other women. Lo yinosu, they shouldn't remarry. Lo yisarsu, they shouldn't even get engaged. Ad shiyu lohen shloisha chadashim, until they wait 3 months, which will determine for us whether she's expecting, meaning, because if she remarries immediately, perhaps in 7 months' time she'll give birth. and we won't be able to really determine whether it's the second man's child or perhaps the first man's child. Therefore, she meant to wait 3 months so we could ascertain that she's not muberes. Says the Mishnah that this halacha will apply in all cases. It's a blanket halacha. Whether or not there is really a practical concern that we just mentioned. Because we're not meant to differentiate, which can lead to confusion, and therefore the Chachamim issued a blanket statement, blanket gzerah, in all cases of remarriage, you're meant to wait 3 months. Echad besuos, whether this woman is a psula, so she knows, we know there's no chance of a child having produced through the first marriage. She never had a relation with him. Echad beulois, in which case there is a concern. Echad almonois, whether she's a widow. Echad grushois, or she's divorced. Echad arusois, whether she was only engaged to the first husband. In which case, there's no concern of a child. Echad nesuois, whether she was married. In all these cases, whether or not there's a practical concern, there's a 3 month waiting period required. The one will tell us, she's Rav Meir, who issued a blanket statement, a blanket gzera. Now, actually the word arusa, we call it engaged, but it's not like today's engagement. Arusa in those days meant actually a kinyan kiddushin. So in any case, in all situations, there's a requirement to wait 3 months. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he takes a more practical approach. Nesuos is arsu. If this woman was previously married, then she can go and get engaged. Because Arison doesn't produce a child, so there's no concern. Varusos, likewise, if she was previously only engaged, in which case there's no concern about a child from the first husband, he knows. So those women can go ahead and get married. So Yehuda adopts a practical approach to things. Except for this case, Chutz Marusa should be Yehuda, except for a woman who was engaged in the place of Yehuda in Eretz Yisrael, where there is a concern perhaps of a child having produced from the first husband, and they should leave a gaspa because they developed a close relationship. Even during their engagement, perhaps, there's a concern about a child. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in general terms, except for one exception. Kol ha'anoshem yis'arsu, all women can go ahead and get engaged without waiting. Chutz min almana, except for this widow, b'nei ibul, because of mourning. She has to wait until the avelus period is over. Okay, so we have machlekes between the Tanakama, who issues a wall-to-wall gzera without exception. All women need to undergo that shloisha chadoshim waiting period, whether or not there's a practical concern. Rabbi Yehuda adopts a practical approach. Only where there's a practical concern is there a waiting period, otherwise not. And Rabbi Yossi basically agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Says of Amrina, we said, Rabbi Lezer loy alu be medrasha. He didn't enter the Beis Medrash that day when they learned this halacha. Ashkechel Rav Asi davakon. So you encountered Rav Asi who was standing. Amrle. So he asked him, my Omer be medrasha. What did they say in the Beis Medrash when I was absent? Amrle, so he responded, Hochem Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha Rabbi Yossi. The halacha follows Rabbi Yossi that we adopt a practical approach when it comes to implementing this 3 month waiting period. Okay, says the Gemara, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that indicates to us that there was only an individual who opposed him, rather than a majority view, because otherwise Rabbi Yochanan would not conclude like Rabbi Yossi. Mechlal dichido polagale. So is that so that there was only a yachid disagreeing with him? Says the Gemara, in yes, it's actually Rabbi Meir, who is the Tanakama of that Mishnah. Who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi? Because Rabbi Meir adopts a general approach to things and he applies a universal gzera in all situations. So he's the bar plukta, he's the man de omer, he's the individual who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. Vatanya, as we learned in the Braisa, where we find that it's indeed Rabbi Meir's shita to apply a general isser here. The Braisa is going to list for us a number of cases where, practically speaking, there's no real concern of a child having been produced from the first marriage. Nevertheless, Rav Meir maintains, we are meant to adopt this 3 month waiting period. Says the Braisa, we have a situation where the woman spent a lot of time back home, in her parents' home, or she was in conflict with her husband, or her husband was elderly or ill, or she was sick, akara, a barren woman, zkena, ketana, v'ailanis, a woman who bears physical signs, which indicate that she's not suitable for childbearing, she ain't really leilet, or for some other reason, she can't have children, she took a medicine, etc. Or if a husband was locked in jail. Or a woman who had a miscarriage after her husband's death. In all these cases, there's no real practical concern of a child lingering from the first husband. In any case, all these women need to wait 3 months before they remarry, the Rav Meir, who applies a universal gzera without differentiation in order to avoid any confusion. Rabbi Yossi Matir, La'ores, Nasam Yad, Rabbi Yossi adopts a more practical approach, therefore he says in all these situations, there's no real concern, they're allowed to immediately remarry, re-engage, remarry. Okay, so we have this halacha, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, halacha Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, Lomali, why did Rabbi Yochanan see a need to tell us that we follow Rabbi Yossi? We have those formulas in the name of Rabbi Yochanan himself. For Amris, haven't you said in the name of Yechon, Rabbi Yossi, Halacha Rabbi Yossi? We already know that when there's machlokes between these two, Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, who do we follow? Rabbi Yossi. So perhaps this is an indication that that formula was falsely attributed to Rabbi Yochanan. Otherwise, why would he himself have to go repeat this? So that's the Gemara, my kushya. What's the problem? Dilma lafuki of Nachman Amashmo. Perhaps the formula is precise and correct. However, the reason why Rabbi Yochanan saw a need to go ahead and tell us that in this case specifically we follow Rabbi Yossi, he was coming to oppose Rav Nachman Amashmo, the Amar, Halacha Kerameh B'Gzer Yosef, that when we find a Gzera, the name of Rav Meir, a Chumra, such as in this case, we went to follow Rav Meir. Therefore Rabbi Yochanan saw a need to say, no, I disagree with that statement of Rav Nachman Amashmo, even in this case, when we have a Gzera from Rav Meir, still, we follow Rabbi Yossi. If that's the case, then everything can work. There was a formula in Rabbi Yochanan, which is a general formula. Still, he needed to stress to us that even in this case, we follow Rabbi Yossi's sheet. So what was the Rishashi's raya? That formula is not meant to be relied upon. Ella meha desani. Rather, the raya is from the following verse. The raya says, Hoilchin liyirid shel nachrim. Who may approach this fair, this market of the Nachrim, which was conducted on their holiday, v'loikchim mehen behema avodim shvachis, who may purchase from them an animal, slaves, maidservants, batim sadisakramim, houses, fields and vineyards, although the Nachri might be inclined to go afterwards and thank his avodizara due to his success in business, who may proceed and purchase these things, and Rashi will explain why. V'koisiv, likewise, he can draft a purchase document, umala bar koshlan, and even bring it up to the judges for confirmation, although he's granting them honor and respect. Why is that allowed? Because he's merely trying to salvage it, trying to protect and secure his purchase. Let's see Rashi inside, four lines from the bottom. So at the end of that fourth line, li yirid, says Rashi, shuk hanikba liyoyim chag shloy dikicham. So it's a fair, a market which was established on their holiday, v'loikchin mehen bata masadais, who may purchase from them these properties, v'pnei shalom itan, because he's actually weakening the power of the oivdei avodah zarah. Inami, mishum yishev Eretz Yisrael. Additionally, if this is taking place in Eretz Yisrael, we have that additional element because he's inhabiting Eretz Yisrael. Behema avodah mishvachis, what's the reason there? V'pnei shemachnisam lekdusha, because he's bringing them into the jurisdiction of Yisrael, Machnis and L'Kedusha. Rashi in the beginning of Bchira says, when Yisrael takes possession of the animal or the slaves, they're going to begin resting on Shabbos, they're going to do mitzvahs. So it's their advantage. Continues Rashi, Umale Hashtar, so he drafts this document and actually brings it up to the Bar Koshelen, Lefnei Dayanin, in front of their judges, Lachtaim, to sign. Although it's an honor for them, this is a concern. Dilma azli umoidu. Perhaps due to this honor that's being accorded to them, they're going to go thank the Avodah. Look, the Israelim are giving us honor. Afilu hachi shari. Even so, it's allowed. Why? Because he's merely trying to save his possession, secure his purchase. v'yarer al machira. So the goy doesn't come back and challenge the sale. So therefore, in order to secure his purchase, Chacham allowed him to go approach the non-Jewish judges. Continues the Gemara, five lines from the bottom. V'im hayu kain, if this person was a kain, mitamei b'chutzlaretz. He can even go out of Eretz Yisrael to chutzlaretz, where he will face a tumah d'rabbanan, a tumas eretz amim. Why is he doing this? Lodun ula'ariman, to go deal with them in their courts, to secure his possessions. Ukeshem shimitamei b'chutzlaretz, just as we allow him to go out to chutzlaretz to become tamei, kach mitamei b'beis hakvaros. Likewise, for this purpose, he could even become tamei in a beis hakvaros. Beis hakvaros hakataitach. Can you entertain that will be allowed? It's a deraisa, it's a laugh. Tumah deraisa. Ela beis hapras derabanan, who merely referred to a beis hapras, which was a field where a grave was overrun. So this field becomes tamei midrabanan, and we would allow this coin to enter that field to secure his financial interests. Likewise, he can become tummy in a tummy derabbanan, for instance, going out to chutzlaretz for the sake of finding a wife, to find a rebbe to learn Torah. When is he allowed to go look for a rebbe? He doesn't have a rebbe available in Eretz Yisrael to learn from. But if he finds somebody that can teach him in Eretz Yisrael, he should not go out to chutzlaretz to become tummy. Although perhaps he prefers a different rabbi, we don't allow it. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, no. Af bezman shemoytze lulmoyt. Even in a case where he has somebody to teach him Eretz Yisrael, nami yitami. He can even go out then to become tamei, to find somebody that speaks his language, that he prefers. Lefi she'ei menakoyl zoich adam lulmoyt. A person is not zoicha to learn from everyone. He needs to find somebody that speaks his language, that can relate to him. Let's take a look at Rashi on the top line. Shloim min akoil, adam zeicha lulmoid. Ein adam zeicha lulmoid, mikol malamlev. A person not necessarily zeicha to learn from everybody. Yesh rab, shemesh nasi stor befiv. You have a rabbi who's well versed in his learning and his teaching, v'shoyne l'talmid of derech tzara, and teaches in a concise, articulate form. So perhaps he needs somebody like that. Therefore we allow him to leave Eretz Yisrael to find somebody to his liking. In the Sefer Minchas Bikurim, based on the Tisefta, he adds that teaching Rebbe and Talmidim, that's connected to the concept of Neshamos and the Shoresh of the Neshamos. Hashem designates who's meant to learn from whom. It's connected to the connections of the Neshamos. Therefore, a person can go ahead and find somebody who he feels is suitable for him. Perhaps he's meant to learn from him. And therefore, we allow him to learn to Israel even for that purpose. I'll prove this to you. There was a story with Yosef who was a kohen. He went out of Israel to the town of Tzidon to learn Torah from his rabbi. So we see that one is allowed to leave Israel to go learn by a rabbi of his choice. Okay, so this is a machlokes between Rabbi Yosef, who says even in this case he can leave, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. As long as there's somebody in Israel to learn from, he must remain there. So, who do we follow? Vav Rabbi Yechanan, Halachka Rabbi Yosi. We follow Rabbi Yosi. Lamali, why did Rabbi Yechanan see a need to go tell us? We follow Rabbi Yosi. We already have a formula that we can apply here. Vav Amris, haven't you said, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan himself, Rabbi Yud Rabbi Yosi, we have a machlekes between Rabbi Yud and Rabbi Yosi, who do we follow? Halachka Rabbi Yosi. So we know that already. Why did Rabbi Yechanan see a need to go repeat that again? So perhaps this is a raya that formula is unreliable. Amar Abaye, no. Both things are true. Itzrich, even though Rabbi Yechon already presented us with that formula, but he needed to repeat that again here. Sagadat Achamina, perhaps, I can think, Hanemil Masnis. These formulas could only be applied to Machlekes, which is contained in a Mishnah, which is deemed to be reliable and precise. In which case you know that the names in the Mishnah, which are attributed to the respective Shittas, are the true names, thereby allowing you to apply this formula, which is essentially a name-based formula, to conclude your Psak Halach. Aval bebraisa emolai. But a Machlekes, which is contained in a Braisa is not deemed to be so reliable. There's a concern that perhaps the names got switched around. So you can't apply this name-based formula to conclude your halacha. Rather, you must evaluate each case independently, each machlekes, and conclude based on the merits of the shittas, of the arguments. You can't apply this formula. K'mashmalan. That's why Rav Yechon need to add this statement pertaining to the machlekes between Rav Yosi and Rav Yehuda, which was actually contained in a braisa, that here as well, we follow Rav Yosi's shita. So at this point, we don't really have a kasha, a reason to disregard those formulas, except for Rav, who is shown to disagree with that, with those formulas. But otherwise, we don't really have a kasha. So why does Rav Mashashi say we're not meant to rely on those formulas? Says Mo, you're right. It's exactly what he meant to say. Ella rather hachikamer. This is all he meant to say. Hani kloli, lav derech kol ninu. These formulas are not agreed upon by all. The harav, lesle hani kloli, because Rav disagrees with them. But otherwise, certainly, they're agreed upon by all. Continues the Gemara. Amar vidam shmo. We learned that regarding a chevetz of hefker, we have a machlekes between Rav Yechon and Nuri, who says a chevetz of hefker is koine shvisa. Whereas the rabbanon hold, a chevetz of hefker is not koine shvisa. What about a chevetz of a nachri? A guy himself doesn't have shvisa. What about his possessions? Amar vidam shmo, chevetz nachri, ein koine shvisa, there's no shvisa there. So one can just pick them up and take them to wherever he needs to go. They're not bound by their own boundary of 2,000 amah in each direction. Laman, in accordance with whose shita, by Hefker, did Shmuel issue this statement? Elim the Rabbanon. Is it according to the Rabbanon hold that Hefker doesn't have shvisa? And Shmuel is coming to add that likewise the possession of a goy doesn't have shvisa? Pshita, isn't that self-evident? It's obvious. Hash to Hefti Hefker. The last lubalim ain't kind of shvisa. Because if a chevetz of hefker, which has no owner to interfere with the process, still no, the rabbanon say there's no shvisa. We don't say the object itself acquires shvisa by its own right. Chevetz hanachri, the is lubalim mebaya. Do you need to tell me that a chevetz of a goy where there's an owner there interfering with the process? Need to tell me there's no shvisa there? It's obvious. There's no need for Shmuel to teach us this halacha. Ella alibi Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Apparently, he was issuing a statement according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, who says that Hefke is kani shvisa, veka mashmala. And he came to teach us. Ey, mudam Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, kani shvisa. When did Rabbi Yechon say there's shvisa? Ha ne mili chavtze Hefke. That's strictly to a chavitz of Hefke. Dles lo balam. There's no owner there to interfere with the process. Therefore, the chevetz itself acquires its own shvis. Aval chevetz hanochri, in contrast with a chevetz of a goy, the islu balam loy. Since there's a balam there, who is interfering with the process? Because he himself doesn't have shvisa, so he interferes with the process. He doesn't allow his possessions to have shvisa loy. So over there, certainly, the possessions won't have shvisa. So Shmuel needs to teach us. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, a chevetz of a nochri is different. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, 11 lines from the top. Says Rashi, Ein koine shvisa. So this is Shmuel telling us that the possessions of a goy don't acquire shvisa. Now, what are the results of this halacha? Twofold. Number one, Varihin kiragli kol adam. Anybody has the ability to pick them up and transport them to where he can go. So if he has an heir which allows him to walk 4,000 amah to the east, he can take it along with him. It is not restricted and limited to its 2,000 amah radius. Number two, let's say they've arrived into the city on Shabbos from outside the tchum, so generally something like that would be restricted to 4 amahs. Here it's different. It can transport them in any direction because they don't have shvisa. So Gemara discusses this statement of Shmuel. According to who was he saying it? According to the Chacham, who hold that Hefka doesn't have shvisa? And of course, this doesn't either have shvisa, explains Rashi. Chavtzeik hefker. Because certainly, if hefker, where there is a reason to believe that it would have shvisa, dika lameimar, because one can say, liknu menav shayu, let it acquire shvisa by its own right. Still and all, amri rabbonu den kun, rabbonu maintain, no, hefker doesn't get shvisa. Then of course, something which belongs to a guy, chavtzeik hefker, this lo balim, These things have an owner. Harihim kum maisan. They have the same status as the owner. Ubalein les lu shvisa. And the owner does not have shvisa. They're not Yisraelim. They don't have the ability to have shvisa. Of course. Is there a need to even say this? That the chafte nochi don't have shvisa? Says the Gemara, okay. He was going to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and he came to teach us that, yeah, Hefker will have Shvisa, but Hefzei Nachri, even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, does not get Shvisa. Says the more, is that the case? Meisve. We have a Kashma, Brisa, which seems to indicate that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the possessions of a Nachri will have Shvisa. Says the Brisa of Shimon, Lozo Oimer, Hashoyel Kli, and Anachri B'Yantav. If one borrowed a Kli from a guy on Yantav, in which case, during Ben Hashmashes, it was still in the Nachri's possession, or a case as follows: V'chein hamashal loyd lenochri kli me'erav yantiv. Let's say he lent a kli to a guy on your erav yantiv, and it remained in the nochri's possession during Ben Hashmashes, and he only returned it to him the next day on yantiv. V'achzir loy b'yantiv. So it came back to the Yisrael yantiv, but during Ben Hashmashes, where was it? By the guy. So in both these cases, it was in the rishus of the nochri during Ben Hashmashes. We have another two cases. Va'akelim, va'oitres, or these storages of payrus or whatever, sheshav sebesechatchum, which were during Ben Hashmashes, where? Within the boundary of the city. So Rashi says, even if they're hefker. So speaking about things that are, for instance, hefker, yesh lam apayim amal chorach. So in all these cases, whether they were in the possession of a guy, whether they were hefker, they get a tchum, they get alpayim amel chol ruach, 2,000 either direction. Continues the Brisa. V'nachri shehevi loy peiris mechutz l'tchum. Let's say the nachri brought him some fruit from outside the tchum. Hareze lo yizizei mim kaiman. Then he cannot move them out of their makim. They must remain within four amis, because they came from outside the tchum. Okay, so the Brisa tells us two things. Cheftzei hefker have shvitza, and Chafzei Nachri have Shvisa. Let's analyze. I Amis B'Shlema. It's all good and well if we say, Kasava Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Chafzei Nachri Kone Shvisa. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that the possessions of a guy have Shvisa. If that's the case, Hamani Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So this Brisa reflects Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Shita. Ela Yamis. However, if you say, Kasava Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Chafzei Nachri Ein Kone Shvisa, then even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, there's no Shvisa for the possessions of a guy. Hamari. So whose view is reflected in this brisa? Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It's not following his shita. V'lo Rabbanan. It's certainly not the Rabbanan. Because they hold that Hefka doesn't have shvisa, and certainly not the chevetz of a guy, as discussed earlier. So we're stuck. Says the Lo'olam kasava Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Cheftze anochi koinen shvisa. Actually, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri himself will hold, yes, the possessions of a guy have shvisa. And his shita is reflected in this price. So we're changing things. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there is shvisa. Ushmuel, Shmuel who told us that there is no shvisa for the possessions of a guy, the Amak Rabbanon, he was strictly speaking about shita's Rabbanon. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is shvisa. Uduka Amris, now what about your question that you asked earlier? Lu Rabbanon pshita. If he's following shita's Rabbanon, then why does Shmuel need to even teach us that? It's pashut. If they hold that Hefka doesn't have Shvisa, certainly not the possessions of a guy which have interference from their owner. So why does Shmuel need to teach us that? That's the one there is a need. Mal de tema, because perhaps there is room to think we should apply Shvisa even to something owned by a guy, not due to its own right, rather to avoid confusion. Gzeira bound the Nachri, or to bound the Yisrael, because if we don't apply Shvisa to something which is owned by a guy, one may erroneously apply that halacha even to something which is owned by Yisrael. Kamash Malon, Shmuel teaches us, there's no such concern, there's no shvisa by the chevetz of a guy. So at this point in the Gemara, whether it's a chevetz of Hefker or a chevetz of a Nachri, they go hand in hand. According to Rechem and Nuri, there's shvisa in both cases. According to Rabbanan, there is none. Continues the Gemara, Rav Chibar Abin Omer Rav Yechanan, so you quote Rav Yechanan as follows, Chevetzei Nachri, koinin shvisa, even according to the Rabbanan, the possessions of a guy have shvisa. Why? For this very reason, to avoid confusion. Gzeira bound the Nachri, or to bow him the Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. Hanu Dichri, there were these rams, the Osulim Avrachta, which were delivered by Nachrim, on Yom Tov, to the town of Amrachta. They were brought from outside the Tchum. Now, within 4,000 Amma of this town, there was another town of Mechoyza where Rava lived. And the residents of Mechoyza established an air of Tchumen, which allowed them to walk all the way to Amrachta and Brek. Sharlu Rava, Livnei Mechoyza, Rava issued a heter to the residents of Mechoyza, L'mizba Minayu, to go to Amrachta, purchase those animals, and bring them back home. Although generally, something which was brought from outside the Tchum must remain within four Amas. Apparently he held something which belonged to a guy does not have Tchum. Therefore they can go purchase those animals and bring them all the way back home to Mechoyza. Amar Rav Yehuda l'Rava. So he challenged Rava, my daitach, what's your opinion? What are you thinking? The Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel Chefze Nachri Eikoy Neshvisa, because we learned the name of Shmuel, that possessions of a Nachri don't acquire Shvisa. Therefore, in this case, they're not limited to four Amis. He can go take them all the way back to Mechoyza. That's Shmuel's opinion. V'Shmuel v'Rabbi Yechanan, Alach Rabbi Yechanan. When there's a machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, we follow Rabbi Yechanan. And Rabbi Yechanan tells us that even the Cheftzei Nachri have Shvisa. V'Omar Rav Chia bar Abba Rabbi Yechanan, Cheftzei Nachri koinen Shvisa. Why? Because of the Gzeira. Gzeira baum de Nachri, atu baum Yisrael. Because one may erroneously apply that halacha even to something which belongs to Israel. Therefore, we adopt Shvisa even by the chafetzim of a Nachri. So in this case, these animals, which were brought from outside the Tchum into Mavrachta, they're limited to four Amis. So they can be transported throughout the entire city, but they can't be taken out of that city. Hoda Marava, as a result of this, Rava reverted and reissued the following statement. Lizdavnu libnei Mavrachta. The rams should be sold to the people of Mavrachta, meaning they should remain local and not be transported over to Mechoyza. In accordance with Yochanan, that Cheftzei Nachrim have Shvisa, so these things which were transported from outside the Tchum are now limited to four Amis, but they can be transported throughout the entire city of Mavrachta, which is a walled city. Why? The Kulam Mavrachta Lidhu Kedal Damas Damya. Because the entire city of Mavrachta is regarded to them like merely four Amis. It's considered to be like one residential unit, which has a din of Dal Damas. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So with the lines of Rashi widen, it's eight lines above that. It says Rashi, Ka'arba Amas Damya. Kedisam Masnisen. As we learned in our Mishnah, when the Nacham took a person on Shabbos and brought him into a city, Halichuli Racheris, Oyne Sanu Bedir Vesar, or placed him in an animal pen, according to Gamliel, although he's outside his tchum, he's limited to four amis, he can walk freely throughout this entire enclosure. Upaskin el, and we concluded earlier, Omar Rav, halacha k'Rav Gamliel, we follow Gamliel shita, bedir, vesar, usfina, v'uadin, the same thing applies, li'yashesh l'machitzis, if he was delivered into a city which has walls. The entire city is regarded as one unit, and can walk freely throughout the entire unit. Now this halacha can be applicable if one should land at an airport on Shabbos itself. So he was delivered into an enclosure, into a walled area, whether it's the airport or whether it's the city which has a wall or an area around it, in which case he's not limited to four Amas or even to 2,000 Amas. He can walk freely throughout that entire enclosure, which is regarded as one single unit. So in summary, are Cheftzei Hefke Koine Shvisa? According to Rabbi Yechem and Nuri, yes. According to Rabbanu, no. What about the possessions of a Nachri? According to Rabbi Yechem and Nuri, yes. According to Rabbanu, we have a machlekes. Shmo holds, they're not Koine Shvisa. Rabbi Yechem theoretically agrees to Shmo, they're not Koine Shvisa by their own right. However, he says, we're concerned if we don't apply Shvisa to them, one might apply the same status to the possessions of Israel. Therefore, we hold that even the Chafetzim of a Nachri have Shvisa.